welcome to the Money Lab Live Podcast, episode number 76, the Hard Work Equals Success Money Story. All right, welcome to back to another live broadcast of the Money Lab podcast from the Six Figure Academy. I am your host, Wei Hong from the Six Figure Academy. And this is the podcast where we give you tips, strategies, and interviews with other entrepreneurs on how to create that ultimate six-figure entrepreneur lifestyle free of bad money stories, money anxiety, and stress so that you can monetize your dreams and execute your genius. Now, if you haven't already downloaded our free ebook from Money Anxiety to Six-Figure Mastery, make sure you go to go.thesixfigureacademy.com and get it there. It's the perfect complement to all the things we discuss on the show, and quite frankly, it could change your life. Now, if you are joining us live today and you are not on YouTube Live to look at these beautiful ladies here as my guest, make sure you get on Spreaker.com or download the Spreaker app on your mobile device and search for the hashtag the Money Lab so that you can join us in the chat room and ask questions, interact with us and our guests, or even request a specific topic to discuss that will help support you in your quest for the ideal six-figure lifestyle. Now, while you're there, subscribe so that you don't miss an episode in the future and you can catch us every single week. For all of the ways to find us, go to thesixfigureacademy.com/radio for all the details. And if there's something that you love about what you hear on this episode today and that you know could help someone you care about, especially if you happen to be a millennial, remember, sharing is caring. Share the show to that person. I'm really excited about the guests we have today because not only because they have the unique money story that many of us can relate to and what they bring to that table and that, but they're also going to talk about how doing work on self, you know, the self-work, personal development, personal growth, how that impacts your business and how being involved in your community actually creates more abundance for your business. So let me give you a little bit of background about these two ladies before I basically turn on the mic and allow them to just kind of take over the show. These two ladies came together a while back, and I've known them for a little bit, and they created what they call the Weber Aceta Real Estate Group. And it's the premier real estate group working with both foreign and domestic buyers in the greater Los Angeles area. Now, what they talk about is that what they can expect from these two is the highest level of service and professionalism, as they have over 15 years of combined experience. What were you guys like, two? Did that happen?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But what they believe in is the power of communication, collaboration, and creativity to make home buying and selling process easy and seamless. Now, what I want to do today, because there's so many different types of real estate agents out there, is that one of my biggest beliefs is that every real estate agent brings something different to the table. And so hopefully today we can illuminate that on how you guys are different from everybody else. So welcome to the show, Lauren and Michelle.
Thank you for having us.
I know. Thanks for finally getting here.
Thank you so much. Yes.
I know. We were just getting ready on for the show earlier, and it was so much fun. I almost wish we recorded it because we were playing with the sound. We were dancing, getting
Dropped the rap.
I know.
Like in the recording studio.
I know. Lauren was actually, for those of you who heard the intro, she was actually rapping to it earlier when we were doing some sound checks
Gotta
and everything.
Drop another rap before we leave.
Yeah, we could probably do that. You know, I'll probably have to come just play it just so that you can do
that.
One
of our many talents. I know. Add rapping to the list. That's why we're unique. Because we rap.
Yeah, they're the rapping real estate agents. So obviously these two ladies are a lot of fun. And so that's probably part of what made them so successful coming together this way. But before we jump into, you know, your journey becoming successful six-figure plus real estate agents, let's talk about what you had to overcome when it comes to the money story. Because the Money Lab, of course, is all about, first and foremost, helping people understand that everybody grows up with a money story. And if, you know, the whole definition about why it's important that if you are not financially where you want to be in life and you're wondering why, chances are there's a bad money story running that you learned about growing up, right? And so one of the common stories you both shared that you shared with me, and which is the title of today's show, is that I think a lot of people deal with this too, not even just the millennials, people in my generation, the generations before that, is that hard work plus savings equals success. And without that, then you're not successful, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about each of your journeys through that money story and how it's a little bit different from each of you. Who wants to start? It could be Michelle, it could be Lauren. Lord. Okay, so Lauren got voluntold to start. Yes. So Lauren, tell us a little bit about your money story and what you grew up with and how that correlates to the hard, you know, the hard work plus, you know, saving money and stuff like that, because, you know, that's what you did, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
We chatted a little bit before we went live. And honestly, as you were just talking right now, I had a little realization of kind of more to my money story. Mm-hmm. So I think the baseline that Michelle and I like both relate to is hard work equals success, or money, which equals success. Mm-hmm. And I grew up from a family who has very good work ethic. Both my mom and dad worked, and they were very conservative and very plan oriented. Mm-hmm. And so they were really good with their money.
Right.
So I always thought that that's what I needed to do as well. And I think coming out of high school and going through college, I just thought I'm going to do it the standard way. Get a job, make money, have a life.
Right.
Normal life.
The cookie cutter way to success.
Just like that's
success.
What right. I need to do, and that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
But I realized after college when I got paired up with my uncle, you know, Uncle Sid.
Uncle
Everybody
Sid.
Knows
Yay,
Uncle Sid.
Uncle Sid.
Sid. Shout out to Uncle Sid. Are you watching?
Shout out to Uncle Sid. We love you so much.
He actually broadened my perspective to that, I guess, mentality and taught me that sky's the limit. And I think because going to school...
Because Uncle Sid's an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Yes.
Entrepreneur. And going to school, I was like a B student. You know, I wasn't dumb, but I wasn't straight A's. I didn't get 4.0. Mm-hmm. So I think I always
It's
thought,
so funny. Like, if you don't get straight A's, you're not considered smart.
Right.
It's weird.
That's what I thought. I just thought I wasn't smart.
Is it just an Asian thing, or is it just in general? Did you have to deal with that, Michelle, growing up?
I think that...
Not to make this a racial thing.
No. I did go to school with a lot of Asian students, and they were all very brilliant and smart, book smart. And I come from a family...
Probably not so street smart, huh?
...that is very street smart. Uh-huh. My dad did not graduate from high school, and he's done very well for himself.
Right.
So, you know, I tried my very hardest to get good grades, and I did. And it took a lot of work. Back to hard work. There we go again, right? But I always knew that I was smart in a different way because my dad was smart in a different way.
Right. And how did you learn to identify that there is a way to define smart beyond academics, like smart in a different way? I mean, there's something, I mean, it's not like we were born to identify that, right? It's like, oh, I'm smart in a different way. Somebody must have told you at some point.
For me, that was, Uncle Sid.
Uncle Sid?
Like, I was opposite. I grew up thinking, like, oh, I'm just going to have a normal job.
Right.
And that was going to be the average life.
Right.
But Uncle Sid was like, no, you are brilliant. I think what... And the same thing. He didn't graduate from college. And here's this very highly successful man sitting me down and telling me, you are smart.
Right.
And I was like, really? Yeah. And I'm like, my grades don't really show for it. And he's like, yes, you have all the fundamental skill sets that can take you. And I think like what Michelle says, one of them being hard work, because I worked really hard to get B's. And I was like, what's the point of working so hard to get a B?
Yeah. And for me, I struggled really, really hard with reading.
Uh-huh.
It still to this day, I went to a museum with my friend this weekend and she's like, do you want to go? I'm like, I'm on paragraph 2. I'm still getting through this.
Give me a moment. I'll catch up to you guys.
So, you know, but I always saw my dad and he didn't graduate from high school and he made it and he's smart.
Raised a family, raised you, did all the things despite not, you know, and so... So would you say academics, depending on how you approach it, may be a little bit overrated if you put too much weight on just academics?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Right.
I think that there's so much value in going out and, you know, trying and failing. There's so much value in failing.
So what do you say to people, you know, millennials and the like, who struggle with embracing failure? Right? Because that's a big thing. It's like I saw a post the other day of someone who says, you know, failure is not an option. And so I put a comment to which she completely ignored, which is, well, how do you expect to learn?
Right.
Yeah.
If failure is not an option, that means, and when we learn most of our things, failure.
That's where the gold is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we learn nothing from success, right? Success is just a barometer of how well we learned mm-hmm. our lesson.
And we've actually talked about that in our real estate career. Uh-huh. We had a little bit of a slow period, and looking back, mm-hmm. we say, thank God we were like not busy at that time, because if we just had deal after deal after uh-huh. deal, we would think we're successful, so we're right. good. Mm-hmm. But it made us take a step back and uh-huh. take a look at our business, and it made us like create something that we really do enjoy having right. and not just the old traditional way of real estate mm. of yeah, knocking on doors every day and right. you know doing the things cool. that we actually are a disservice to our lifestyle.
Right.
So it made us be creative in what we're doing.
Yeah, because I mean, let's face it. I mean, there are thousands of real estate agents out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and so how does one maintain or be competitive in that space? I mean, to a point, especially in the Southern California area, there's not enough inventory for every real estate agent to, I mean, it's kind of a sad thing to mm-hmm. make it, right? I mean, how many real estate agents are there in the Southern California area alone?
Oh, I do not have that statistic off the top of my head. I remember getting in that one of the statistics was one out of every 13 agents go past 1 year, make it past
wow.
a year.
Oh, wow.
And then I think the statistic went even lower past like 8 years.
Right.
So,
yeah, because
but we also believe that there is an abundance of business, mm-hmm. that there's room for everybody to be successful.
Sure.
And it's without failure. I mean, with failure that you learn
right.
and you keep going. But I think a lot of people get to that 1 year mark and say, I failed.
Uh-huh.
So you didn't really fail. You're just going through the process.
Right.
And then they stop.
It's so funny because you see the same thing happen in network marketing industries as well, multi-level marketing. And they say if you put your head to the grindstone and crank out 3 to 5 years of committed just kind of work in this, you can retire because it's kind of the nature of the business model.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. A lot of people just after 1 year, they say, oh, that's it. You know, mm-hmm. like that's the barometer of how the rest of their career
right.
is. When in fact, in the beginning, you're going to be stumbling all over the place. You know, people come out of school. I remember when I left school, I was like, I'm done with learning. I'm not going to read ever again.
I think I said the same thing,
I am
too.
So burnt out, right?
Yeah.
On school and
no
everything.
More
going
school.
To, no
yeah.
more, no more. And then I realized like, oh my God, what an idiot. Because life is, school is just a preparation for mm-hmm. life, right? And so going back to your story, because we kind of...
Well, I feel like we're always in school. And
right?
if you look at life, like you're always in school, then there's something that you can get out of it.
Right.
So something bad, bad quote unquote, comes in your way, that is life sending you a message. And if
right.
you take that message and you learn from it and grow from it, that's your school. Like we're
right.
in life school.
Right.
So I think that if you look at life in a way that you want, if you're always learning
mm-hmm.
from everything,
right?
From everyone. I mean, it could be. I've experienced like homeless people on drugs across the street. Okay, not here, not actually
oh,
here. But you know, just going, and I was listening, and I was like, wow, that guy actually has a ton of wisdom.
Oh,
you know,
I tell the story
so
all the time,
anywhere,
right? Yeah,
anywhere you can learn.
Yeah, Third Street Promenade. I was there, and I disappeared. I was at UCLA at the time, and then my friends like couldn't find me. They're like, "Where's Wei?" And they found me finally sitting next to a homeless person talking about quantum physics
mm-hmm.
and quantum
yes.
theory. And I was like, "This guy's brilliant,"
yeah.
and it totally
there's
shifted
so
my
many.
Perspective.
It's insane.
You know, and if you go, to, I mean,
mm-hmm.
they there was a statistic, you know, in Berkeley. They said like 80% of the homeless people are graduates of Berkeley. There was a
pretty,
oh,
it
was like
wow.
something like that. And it was, I was like, wow,
God,
that's kind of
yeah.
around the Berkeley area.
Yeah.
So they never left. They just kind of hung around there.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just.
Geniuses.
Different
you know,
lifestyle
yeah.
different
choices.
Lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's so refreshing to, you know, hear people coming from your generation having that type of outlook and then doing something about it. Because I see a lot of people having that similar type of outlook and perception of life, but doing nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all theory, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But you guys are actually applying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says something about how you guys navigated out of that belief system of the money story of hard work. I mean, we didn't get a chance to hear, Michelle. Well, you
my money story?
Yeah, your money story. Because it's based on the fact that probably your dad didn't finish school, but he worked hard. And
he saved. His core belief is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, they save, they're savers, so I almost call it like hoarding.
Mm-hmm. They hoarded money?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a symptom of money anxiety.
Yeah. So, and I had that same belief that I just had to save and save and not let it go. And it actually was you, Wei, who at one point in time, see the universe sending things,
right,
said something like, you have to have a place for it to go. You have to let it flow. Mm-hmm. And once I let go of my money, not go, I mean, I bought a house.
You allow it to flow.
And it flowed, and it's, the universe sends me things, but I have to also exercise a lot of patience.
Uh-huh.
And also know that my life doesn't have to be hard. You know?
Right.
So I think that the belief is that your life has to be hard in order for you to be successful.
To justify the any success.
Yeah. Any success, it has to be hard. So letting go of the belief that it has to be hard and believing that it can be easy and it can be fun and I can bring fun to other people.
Right.
Like other people's, like you can do, you can buy a house with us and have a blast. Like you can have fun buying a house.
And you can do a podcast show and have fun while you're doing it too.
Right?
You can have fun doing anything.
Yeah, you really can. And it doesn't have to be painful and it doesn't have to hurt and you can understand it and you can feel
so what do you think that's from? I mean, from your perspective, because that's probably to recognize that contrast that it doesn't have to be painful. That means at some point in your life, you probably came into awareness that there was a belief system you could potentially have bought into.
Oh, yeah.
Which is and
that's
for
what
you,
I saw.
Oh, that's
it
what you saw.
It looked very painful.
Oh, like, when you were growing up at home?
Like my dad works very, very hard.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my biggest wish is that he goes on a vacation and enjoys. Like, that's
right.
All I want for him is to
Does he
just,
do that now, or is he still working really hard?
No, he still works very hard.
Right.
He really
I think
does.
I met him.
You did?
Was he there
at one of our parties?
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He
is really amazing person.
Yeah.
And
he looks
like
a hard worker.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He just exudes hard work.
And
he'll just stand there and he'll just look like he's like a poster child. I am hard work.
He's a genius. I mean, he's very smart. Him and my mom. It's not just him.
Right.
They're a team. They run a business together.
Holy
cow. Yeah, so, I mean, they're...
What kind of business?
They run a construction business.
Oh, yeah, that in itself. I mean, construction...
Mm-hmm.
It was almost equals hard work.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But I know a lot of GCs that are kind of like a more holistic in their approach and everything like that. They don't have any problems delegating. They don't have problem bringing expanding the team and everything like that. It's a huge thing.
I think we learned and we're still learning a lot about this. And I want to say this year has been a big, and like even this week has been a big learning curve for us.
Oh, what happened this week? Let's be relevant.
Well, it's the same thing this year. I think we were the busiest we've ever been in our whole careers together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
There was one week where like Michelle was really busy, I was really busy, and then Michelle's going out of town, so I was a little bit freaking out that I was like, I've never been this busy on my own, and she's never been on. How am I going to do both of it?
Right.
And then when she left, everything kind of came to a very scary, like, it just calmed. Like, we closed 4 escrows in a week.
Wow.
We had 3 listings that were released. Like, everything was just kind of set up so that when she left, it was fine.
Right.
And July has been one of the slowest years of the months of the year in real estate. And I think what I'm taking away from that is before she left, I felt a little drained and just kind of like I was working nights and weekends. And I think there's 3 weeks that I worked 7 days, and I was like, this is not what we signed up for, this is not the vision that we had created. But then come July, I was chilling a little bit and feeling very, very, very guilty about it.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking, I'm not working till 7, 8, 9 p.m. tonight. Today I actually went to the beach or no, I sat in the office and I came home and thought that, oh my God, I could have cranked out what I needed to do for the day and then actually go to the beach and enjoy it. Why don't I just do that? So we did that the other day. We said, okay, let's work from this time till 2 p.m. and then from 2 p.m. let's go to the beach and have a meeting because we have a meeting. Like, let's go
because
enjoy.
Because you guys are, you guys are so far from the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I could look at your office from my office. I could throw a rock, throw pebbles at their windows.
Yeah. But I think what I took away from that was, it's been this way every year for my entire career. Mm-hmm. July is just slow.
Yeah.
So I think every year I'm like, it's going to be different this year. We're so busy because coming into it, we were so busy. I was like, this is the first year we're going to be busy in July.
Right.
But maybe it's about really just, I thought about this as I was driving. I was like, maybe we're kind of like on like a teacher schedule, and every year we'll just have July as like just mentally going into it as being like right. a slower time of the year to just enjoy.
But what difference would it make then if July was busier? Is it just kind of like a metric that you set for yourself as like, we got to be busy in July too? Or was it does it actually have, would it make a big impact in terms of your growth and what you guys have been able to do?
I think we, like, busy is what we're thinking of, being in an escrow, being like mm-hmm. doing some kind of work, but we're always working. Mm-hmm. So we can, yeah. like last year and the years right. previously, we've just taken these times where maybe we're not in four escrows and we're in one. And we look at our business mm-hmm. and we change things and we do the creative, you know, visioning. Part of our work yeah. and planning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But because it's not like the type of work where we're doing
transactions,
yeah, like it's a different type of work, but we still showed up every day, mm-hmm. you know, right. we still work 8:30 to 5.
And how important is that? I mean, because I've seen you guys, I think I met you guys when you guys just barely started coming together. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, yeah. I met you before you guys actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because you were my neighbor. You know, and what happened was, as you guys came together, there was some, you know, just kind of figuring things mm-hmm. out, you know, Hunter, this and that, all that, all mm-hmm. these different places at Hunter Realty, right?
Hunter Wilson, yeah.
And so, so I think, you know, I think a lot of real estate agents will be listening to this and say, like, how do they do it? How did they come in and in this, you know, challenging or competitive market, you know, being new to the game? There are people who have been in the game for like 12, 13 years and they're still struggling. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the difference? Because, you know, you navigated out of your money story, and I think that was a big piece, being able to let go of that old money story mm-hmm. because you just said, okay, let me let it flow and see what happens. Is, oh my God, mm-hmm. this totally works, and it actually yeah. brings in more money. How did you let go of your money story?
How did I let go of it?
Yeah, or what have you been doing to kind of buck that so that it doesn't get in the way of the growth of your business?
I think in the beginning it was the same mentality as Michelle mm-hmm. And I, we were getting ready for the show. I was like, oh, I have a funny money story, because I thought that's what you were asking, like a funny story. Oh. I was like, I remember I had a check from my grandma for my birthday, and then I saved it because I thought it was being really good, and it was like a year later my mom found it. She's like, you need to call grandma and tell her you didn't cash the check and she needs to balance her checkbook. I felt so bad, but I was like, but I'm saving, like I have this check from
nobody,
a year ago.
But nobody taught you about that.
Yeah.
Check, right?
Oh, I have a story about that, Buzz.
Yeah. So, and then that's something right there in itself, is that your mom can't get angry at you, because if your mom mm-hmm. never taught you yeah. about the difference between the different types yeah. of representations of money, mm-hmm. how are you supposed to know? Because it's not like you were born knowing this is a check.
No, I think she did pat me on the back after, though. She's like, oh, I'm very proud of you. That's a good job mm-hmm. saving that.
Nice. Okay.
And cool. I was always very, like, rewarded. And I was praised for saving my money. Like, mm-hmm. you're, right. I was always told, you're really good with money. You're really good. I'm a saver.
Yeah, I would have been told I was stupid.
My brother was opposite. Dad. He
calling
was really good at spending.
Out,
were you a good spender?
I'm an excellent spender. I'm an absolutely amazing spender.
You're really good at it. Excel at that.
So good that to a fault. Anyway.
We can help you way.
We need to like exchange. You yeah. help us spend and we help yeah. you save.
Perfect. No, that's part. That was part of my money story that I grew up with. Was my mom told me, money's hard to make but easy to spend. I'm like, okay. And so that's basic. So she added that, so hard to make, and said, but she threw that at the end. And when you're a kid, you don't spend a lot of time distinguishing between what should be, you know, like taken in as a truth or not.
Yeah.
And that was her own money story. Mm-hmm. It got projected onto me. I took it on, and sure enough, I mean, there was one time I had hundreds of thousands of money just sitting, like dispensable income, just sitting in an account. And in 30 days, it was gone.
Wow.
And people are like, what'd you do with it? What happened? I was like, I don't know. But it was that story that just ran, and unconsciously, just things just went out. Little things
so
here
and
there.
So how did you get rid of, because it sounds like you're on the same wavelength as hard to make.
I was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did you change it?
Well, and therein lies why I built a whole entire business around it. Mm-hmm. I took my background in engineering mm-hmm. and then basically dissected and deconstructed the whole thing through the journey of working with different coaches and mentors mm-hmm. and my own personal, and then also talking to my very affluent, well-to-do clients, and realizing that there is a story that runs. And I said, mm-hmm. What do we do about that? So how do we change that? Mm-hmm. And all the different areas I'm training, neurolinguistics and mental emotional release, I went mm-hmm. just dove deep in that and created a system. And so that this protocol that I just consistently do mm-hmm. over and over again, you know. But anyway, consistency. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of which, going back to what I was saying, it's like, I think one of the things that I noticed with you guys is that you guys are consistent. You know?
Oh, yes.
Consistent in, and let's get out of the whole money story. Let's go into what I've been noticing that how you guys have been able to create success is that you are consistent with your, and in your conviction to creating success, developing yourself, mm-hmm. and just kind of pursuing a lifestyle and creating a lifestyle full of abundance. Mm-hmm. So let's spend some time talking about that, because I know I said, you know, you guys show up every single day. You mm-hmm. always show up, and no matter what's going on in the market, no matter what's going on in the business, you guys are still showing up. How important, let's start with that, how important is that for people like, you know, millennials or anybody else really, but such as yourselves, who come into a space where there's a lot of veterans, mm-hmm. a lot of senior, mm-hmm. Super talented agents out there, and despite that, create success through consistency or just showing up? How important is it just to show up every single day for you guys?
I think it's very important. And I think that, at least for me and for Lauren, both of us, we showed up and we surrounded ourselves with those people.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Like, we consciously, at least I started in one office where there were not a lot of top producers. And I moved to one, and I even had to, like, let go of money. I spent a lot of money to be in a certain office with those top producers because they were going to here at the Riviera.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I want to be around them because they're the ones who, they're doing what I want to do.
Right.
And if I stay at this other office with, you know, no one who's doing what I want to do, it's like they say, surround yourself with, I don't know.
The people that you want to be like.
People you want to be like.
Or want to, people or strive to be.
People you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
A reflection of you.
Yeah. Noted what they were doing, how they were sounding,
right.
And just
so you said
being
that,
in the work. Yeah.
So what was the biggest hesitation that blocked? Because I know a lot of people know the concept of doing that, but you said you had to spend money to get there.
Yeah, I had to let go of it and take a... it's like you're essentially throwing your hat over the fence and then you got to go get it.
You're
so
committing to that
up.
And yeah. you're investing mm-hmm. in a little fire under your butt,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But it was always whenever I did throw my hat over the fence. Mm-hmm. It was always something that I knew I was betting on myself,
right.
one. And two, it was, there were other ways that I was making sure that I could make that payment or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I had confidence,
right.
and I was betting on myself,
uh-huh.
too. So, but if I just threw my hat over the fence and got the office and stayed at home and snoozed all day.
Which happens, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes people do snooze.
So what do you think?
I'm a snoozer.
What do you say to people who actually have done that and they still don't go find their hat?
I think you just got to get... You physically, you need to just go there. It's like going to the gym.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you go there and you lift 3 weights, like, that is so great. No, but really, it's just going, even
just showing up.
Because there's times when you're really low. There's times when you're really low, and it happens.
Because why? You're human?
You're human, and it happens in work, and it happens in lots of different areas. It's exercise, too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just go and walk for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just go in the office and write one email.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you have that, like,
baby steps.
I did it. Right. I did that today.
Right.
And then you're not beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself up. That's one.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Cool. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, and let's talk about your experience around that. How did you learn to stop? Because I think one of the biggest challenges for most, especially entrepreneurs, the people who are solopreneurs or people who are independent,
mm-hmm.
is that the reason why a lot of them, because they're it's hard to, sometimes it's difficult to say, I got to learn from my failures are important, because mm-hmm. we are raised in a society mm-hmm. where we get punished for failing.
Yeah.
You get punished if you get an F. You get punished if you get a mm-hmm. D or a C if you don't make it. You have to take it again. You have to go through these rites. To kind of...
There's always a silver lining to every mm-hmm. failure, every learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, taking it and looking at the glass half full
mm-hmm.
and then adjusting. So
what do you say to people who have spent a lifetime beating themselves up mm-hmm. for failing? You know, because if you spent a lifetime and you didn't have, like, parents and like Uncle Sid or something like that to kind of help shift things around. People that are close that you trust and you look up to, you know, and they want, they hear about your success and say, well, how do we be like that? And it's like, well, easier said than done.
Mm. I would say if you spent a lifetime doing that, and that's your way of being, to forgive yourself and move on.
Yeah, forgive and let go, right?
It's just like, you know, that happened and it's okay. Mm-hmm. But think, in order, you have to get to being okay. But if you live in that it's bad and everything is bad, you're not going to get to okay. So just forgive yourself, because a lot of people punish themselves and make themselves wrong for choosing that.
Right.
And then what Lauren said, seeing where's the good in it.
Yeah.
But if you don't accept it.
You have to like trust yourself too, and trust the universe, and trust what's going to unfold and what's going to be revealed later. Because the lesson doesn't necessarily always come like that day. Like, oh, I'm so glad that happened and I learned this.
Like,
and
like,
sometimes
this equals
they
that.
Come
boom.
Years and years later. And for me, my first business entrepreneurship venture was creating a jewelry business.
Oh.
And I went gung-ho. I put myself out there. And people still to this day ask me about it.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, years and years and years, I always thought that was a huge failure. Huge. I was like, I didn't make it. It was my dream. And I just failed. But now, and looking back, it was going through that process that taught me how to run a business. I'm implementing.
What did you take? What were the biggest things you took away from that quote unquote failure?
It was the, I mean, I think one was putting myself out there, like not holding back. I put it, everyone knew about it. I tried everything. I did trunk shows. I did Etsy. And I put myself out there. So everyone knew. So I did a good job of marketing myself, my services. I came out here. I went door to door and got them in boutiques.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I also learned the back end of running a business. So bookkeeping
and
you know, organizing
you know
everything.
To that?
Uncle Sid.
Uncle Sid. Everybody needs to find themselves
find Uncle Sid.
The best.
We love Uncle Sid.
And seriously, though. I mean, I think that's something really important to recognize, and that each, both of you had some figure to look up to for guidance and mentorship. Mm-hmm. And that's really, because, you know, a lot of, I hear this all the time, because I get the same type of feedback, speaking the same language that you guys are speaking now, that people goes, roll their eyes sometimes, goes, yeah, I've heard it all before, and, you know, it works for some people, doesn't work for me. And I think one of the biggest pieces why we have a dedicated forgiveness coach in our team, which is to forgive yourself.
Forgiveness coach.
Oh yeah, she's amazing. Wow. So, and I think you're right. I mean, there's a big piece there that, okay, when are you going to let yourself off the hook so that you can actually move forward? Yeah. Because I think the more you beat yourself up, the more you you become your own anchor. You kind of get in your own way, right? Oh, it's like this. And then looking at the, like you said, glass half full, glass half empty. They're both the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, which is going to give you the best way to move forward.
And
to
having
that next
gratitude,
step.
Too. I think we, all three of us, know how important it is to be grateful.
So what is that? Because people will talk about gratitude journal and everything like that, you know. And a lot of people who are very left-brained say, well, what does that have to do with me becoming successful, or me getting that next sale, or whatever the case may be? Let's talk about that a little bit from your perspective, because I talk about it all the time. I practice it all the time. Yeah. And so someone, people like you who are up and coming and building, you know, this business, taking it to the next level, what do you see gratitude directly impacting your business?
I mean, I think for people like us, we're always striving. We're always going to want more. We're always going to reach for more. And that's a great, like, attitude to have. Mm-hmm. But you can always, on the flip side, feel like not enough, or I'm not doing good enough. So it's important to be grateful for what you do have, because they always talk, we talk about raising and elevating your problems. You're always going to have problems. But I think our problems are, like, they're not like better, but they're different from what they were before. So just having gratitude for, like, it might be slow right now, but we do have so many clients that we're working with. Like, so I'm so grateful for each and every person that we have today, and each and every person that we've had in the past that have brought us here today. And so just shifting, like, the mentality of, like, focusing on what's wrong or the failures, and looking at it of what went right. Like, well, the jewelry business, I'm so grateful I did that. I met so many amazing people. Like, I created, like, really cool and fun things. It opened my mind to this business world and mm-hmm. ultimately brought me to real estate.
So it moves you forward more yes. than it mm-hmm. than it holds you back. Mm-hmm. So,
and it shifts something inside of you too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just makes Gratitude. You feel different.
Yeah.
Okay. Like if you just start saying like the simplest things, like I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be talking to you guys.
Grateful
I'm,
to be on this amazing yeah, podcast.
Yeah. This is talking so about awesome.
But, you know, does that then change... Does that then impact how you show up then to
Absolutely.
Potential business or Definitely. New opportunities and everything
yeah.
like that?
Because if you're always in a woe is me state, like come on, oh, people God. Can feel that.
Yeah, okay.
Energy
yeah.
is so important. And when you come from a place of gratitude, mm-hmm. you show up as someone, and how you show up is huge. Mm-hmm. You show up as someone who is excited to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you feel... That person who is exercising gratitude is, you know, feels that they can contribute something. I personally believe that everybody, mm-hmm. everyone, all of you.
all of you all out of there you, on YouTube land, pay attention right now.
No, everyone has something to contribute. And I think that people really need to start believing that more. Mm-hmm. And the more you can exercise gratitude, the more you can get in the positive mindset and see how you can contribute something positive.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you come from gratitude, there's a lot of positivity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And your voice, your feedback can change the world, can change something for someone, how someone sees something.
Right.
Even if you think you're some people may classify as a negative person, but someone who is more
has a
more grounded
right.
Outlook. I'm right. an extremely positive person.
Right. As we found out through the assessment.
Yes.
Either super positively charged or neutrally
yes.
charged or negative. So there's no such thing as negative people, just negatively charged people.
Yes.
Who
yeah.
start talking about, they observe mm-hmm. what's not working. So,
but that's, we need you.
Right.
We need,
not me,
not you, not you, not you. But we need the.
I'm not negatively charged.
We need the negatively charged people.
Why you gotta charge?
yeah, because sometimes as positively charged people, we can't see that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We can't even, it's not even. In our vision anywhere.
So it's embracing the positive outlook, embracing the ability to see what the positively charged people can't see.
Yeah.
It should be.
And sharing.
And that itself is a value, right?
Oh, yeah. I think everyone has value.
So it's not like you guys are cheerleading and says, you know, you need to be more positive affirmation because you guys are absolutely positively charged. But I think what's so cool about what you're saying right there is that you guys absolutely recognize people who aren't as cheerleader-ish, if mm-hmm. you will.
We need
you
them.
Weren't
I think I'm a little bit. Though, I think I have not always been an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do have a bit of a negative charge.
Well,
but,
compared to Michelle,
yes.
as we found out, you're not quite as positively
so
charged.
So we call
right?
Michelle the kite and I'm the string.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Every kite needs a string.
Yeah.
Lauren could be someone's kite.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
You know?
I'm
it's
a
all relative,
also.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
She is.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all everything's relative.
But I used to beat myself up about that because mm-hmm. I think I've worked very hard to shift my mentality from a pessimist or realist mm-hmm. side to an optimistic side.
Mm-hmm. With an awareness of what's not working and being in the
right.
solution.
Yeah,
I think
Lauren's
the key,
really good at that.
I think the key yeah. is what you guys are saying here is even if you can identify what's not working and what's broken,
mm-hmm.
is to continue to stay in the solution of...
Mm-hmm.
of what's going on right
yes.
now.
I think that's the biggest thing is recognizing it mm-hmm. and then shifting, mm-hmm. adjusting to make it work for you
mm-hmm.
or make a decision on, okay, we're going to keep doing this for X amount of time and then if at this point we need to change something.
Hmm.
But if you're kind of always going in the work and it's like, hold on, this is not working for me or you or anybody here.
Right.
Like, let's do something that will make it better.
Yeah.
But
Lauren,
I used to live...
She always
yeah.
recognizes what's not working before I do.
Sure.
For sure.
Right.
But I'll have like an inkling, but it's like very buried, but I'm like, it's gonna work. And then she's like, okay.
Yeah, okay. I used to beat myself up for it because I thought like...
Well, our culture, I mean,
yeah.
just being in the U.S. anyway, it's a very cheerleader-ish country.
Oh, yeah. Everyone gets awards.
Yeah. Everybody beats... A lot of people beat up people who are just like a little bit too critical sometimes,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
The whole criticism thing. And yeah, I can... It totally makes sense, you know, in terms of how you potentially grow up being pointed out like, hey,
mm-hmm.
why are you being such a pessimist?
But I think sometimes our greatest gifts are like also our downfalls.
For sure.
So I what helped me was learning that those qualities of me that I didn't embrace were actually the qualities of me that helped make me be so successful.
Right.
But no, I always was like, what's wrong with me? Why do I think this way? Why am I always fighting? But it's like, no, it's because you're always wanting to grow and you're always looking at things from an analytical perspective. And that's not wrong. It's not bad. It's just different. And that's actually been like a good thing for me.
Yeah.
But it's about not dwelling in the negative but and taking like whatever that is and making
recognizing
lemonade
honoring it
out of lemons.
Yeah.
And it's being open to that too, because she can see it one way and I can see it another way.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to have very in-depth conversations for me to see her way and for her to see my way to find the way.
The common ground. Yeah.
Yeah.
That will work for everyone.
Not this way, the way.
The way.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
we can bring you our way. Yes. You are the way.
So let's talk a little bit about that in terms of the union. Because, I mean, let's take a quick snapshot of where you guys are. You guys both have come together. You guys are running a successful partnership. You're able to travel around the world at least once, maybe twice a year. Or maybe more, right? Have a beach lifestyle living, because let's face it, it's not cheap to live in this area, right? And to not just live in this area, but also to thrive in this area, right? And to afford the lifestyle. And because I think a lot of people in their 20s and 30s, even that, they're still struggling in that, it's trying to make that happen. So you guys have obviously created something really unique and special. Let's talk about the journey of where you guys were before, what inspired you guys to come together, and what are some of the things that you guys had to go through to make it work, and what was the big turning point? Let's just start with where you guys were each before, because I keep going further.
We were at two different brokerages. And we actually, I think we always longed for a partner, a business partner.
Did you guys know each other before?
No, we met through real estate.
Yeah.
Touring homes. Mm-hmm. And we instantly became friends.
Instant besties.
The rest is history. And now we talk the same.
Yeah, now you guys talk in stereophonic.
We finish each other's sentences.
We really do.
I was like, what's going on?
I was like, earlier.
Echo.
I was going to say that word. Good word.
But real estate can be actually a very lonely industry, I think, as all entrepreneurship, if you're independent.
Because it's also competitive, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of nurtured that dog-eat-dog type of like environment. Is it more so that, have you found that to be, especially in an old-school real estate, it's like dog-eat-dog, it's like very competitive? And
that exists. That's not how we do business.
No, of course not.
And I think that that does happen, but we are very collaborative and we want everyone to win. And
we truly believe there's enough room for everybody to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in our transactions, we have to work with other agents. And when we submit an offer to another agent who, we've come across before, it's in our best interest to, I mean, this is just how we roll anyways, that we're kind and we have fun and we do a good job, because when we write our clients' offers and submit them, we're writing them to agents that we've ran into before, and we have a reputation to uphold that if I choose Weber Aceta's offer, I know they're going to deliver. I know they're going to do a great job. Okay. Their communication is on point,
right?
And they're going to rock it out, and we're going to end this transaction together with high fives and hugs, and it's going to be good.
It's like a party.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we've been a lot of friends through doing transactions with them.
Right. What was it that inspired you guys to say, you know what, we're going to leave our solo approach to real estate to come together and create a team?
I think the really cool thing about our partnership is that it's very organic. It just kind of happened. And I think after we decided to partner, we look back, we're like, oh, that actually is a big decision.
You guys stayed present, being in the flow, and just kind of did what you guys knew how to do.
We started with one little marketing piece. We said, hey, let's do what's called a farm, which is mail out a marketing piece to a certain geographical area. And so we did that. And then I think both of us too, when we do something, we go 110% in. And so we
dove into that. And
go
then
big or go home.
As mm-hmm. things started progressing, we started to try to lay out how are we going to separate leads and what mm-hmm. if this happens, then that. And then we're like, this is too complicated. Let's just be full partners.
Yeah.
And that's literally how we made our decision.
Just to make, it wasn't to make it
a, yeah, yeah, to make it easier. And then we've just gone through a lot of self-development together mm-hmm. that has really helped the foundation of our communication mm-hmm. and how we operate. And mm-hmm. I think we have the same core ethics and values and different business practices. Mm-hmm. So it's like at the heart is like who we are and what we truly believe in. And then we had to go through a lot of the exercises of how to do the business. And took Michelle's best business practices and my best business practices in the first year. It was a lot. Like, right. we were just doing so many right. things.
I remember that. Yeah,
yeah, you guys were... we're, I'm burnt out because yeah. we're doing 20 million things.
Yeah, you guys were. I was like, wow, that's a lot.
Simplify.
But how important, though, is that? Because it sounds like whenever you guys make a decision, you guys go full bore. Mm-hmm. How important is that for any business, you know, real estate agents, but any business mm-hmm. itself to... If you do make a decision, you go forward, you have the full conviction to just play it out. You know, despite whether or not it fails, you go mm-hmm. full out. I mean, versus kind of like testing the waters and kind of going 80%, mm-hmm. maybe 90%. What's
Yeah, I actually, I did that in the beginning of my real estate career. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it takes a while to get started. Sure. So I had like a marketing job. I did my jewelry. Oh, I think wow. I worked at I had four jobs.
Wow.
And I had a mentor. And I think we believe in the same thing is mm-hmm. find someone who does what you want to do and does it really well mm-hmm. and do everything they tell you. Mm-hmm. So Courtney Self was my mentor from mm-hmm. Hunter Mason Realty.
Oh, cool.
Who Uncle Sid set me up with.
Nice.
And I literally did every single thing she told me to do mm-hmm. without question. Some of the things I did not want to do. But one of the things that she said was, you need to quit all those side jobs. If you want to take this seriously, quit all those jobs, come into the office every single day and give it 110%. And it wasn't until I did that that I started making money and I actually started seeing the results. So I was like, I know what she knows what she's talking about. And okay, I'm on board.
Right. So yeah. So it goes back again to making sure you align yourself with somebody who has done something and proven it and created success around what it is that you want to create. Again, going back to surrounding yourself mm-hmm. with people who either are where you're at and wanting to go where you want to go or represent where you want to be.
Yeah. Also, to add to that, uh-huh. something that we both know from when we started real estate mm-hmm. is we both had people, a lot of people around us who believed
mm-hmm.
in us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are really big cheerleaders for people, and we believe that having someone who believes in you because mm-hmm. real estate, you when you start
your entourage, I mean, if you will,
yeah, your entourage, it's really important mm-hmm. to surround yourself with people who can see right now you're like hitting your like face on the ground or what, you know, you're just
scraping
tumbling,
your face on the ground,
you're tumbling around but they know, they hold it in their head that you're gonna get where you believe you can go
uh-huh.
or further than you can even see,
right?
So having people that know that about you when you're just came back from open house that, you know, you got no one's contact information from sitting there for 5 hours and you feel like the world's over, that, you know, you're going to sell, you're going to sell houses and soon and you're going to yeah. do a great job. So that's really important. And okay, the thing we haven't talked about, which I just want to say, action is,
yes,
that's what millennials need. And I think that that's something that we're really good at.
Mm-hmm. What kind of action?
Okay, so that's where we're a good partnership here. Because I'm like, action, action, go. I mean, that's like my dad.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's what he taught me. He's
like, and I'm like,
go,
let's
go,
sit
go,
here
go,
and
go,
think
go.
About this a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, before we go, like, let's make sure.
Where are we going?
Yeah, we get on the freeway going the right direction.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
So I guess the answer
is getting up and doing something.
Is like well thought out action.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if that's...
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, just like, do you take just like, you know, there are a lot of people out there who have a high risk tolerance and they go into entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a high risk tolerance, but is it calculated risk or is
calculated,
it haphazard
that's
risk?
Where I've been looking for.
Right. So mm-hmm. it's a calculated
yes.
actions,
right?
Right.
Yes. Right.
But what happens to those people who overcalculate?
They sometimes they get stuck and they
yeah.
don't
they
ever
don't
do
analysis,
anything.
Analysis
yeah.
paralysis,
yeah.
right? So there has to be that harmonious balance, which
yeah.
is what you guys talked about earlier before we started here, which was finding that harmonious balance, you know, and this is where all that personal development work comes
mm-hmm.
into play, right? And so I know we're kind of getting close to the end of the hour, believe it or not.
Oh, no.
And so I want to make sure that we touch on that, just talking about the how important is that personal development piece? Because most young people don't think that they need it yet.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
And oh, God. I wish I got started sooner.
But a lot of people, they are around it and they think they could do the personal development themselves. But you guys surround yourself with people who are giving you the guidance, giving you the mentorship, and you guys are listening and applying and implementing. Because I notice a lot of young people in my experience, they listen to it, they say, that makes sense, but they don't do it. They don't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. Action is huge.
Right.
The funny thing is that we talked about hating school. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I go and learn and study more now than ever.
Oh, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I left school 13 years later. I went back and I was the best student ever.
Yeah.
I was like, A+ is not that hard.
Well, so we're taking a seminar this weekend, actually. Uh-huh. So we're always doing work and we're
continuously.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same core principle.
What's the seminar for?
It's like a heart-based. Heart-based.
Yeah.
So it's not even a real estate seminar.
No.
It's for... Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Yeah, we do a lot of work on ourselves because that affects your energy and that affects how you show up and that's based in the ideas that you have about yourself and how life goes.
Right.
So if you can change your ideas about yourself and how life is or goes and change your paradigm, is that
right?
Does that word fit there?
Shift your paradigm.
Shift your paradigm.
Yeah.
Then you can start seeing things differently that are already in front of you.
Right.
They're right there.
Yeah. Success is there for you to take, right?
If you don't see it because of your belief, your misbelief, you just want to debunk your beliefs.
Right.
And
that's not serving you.
Exactly. And those answers can even come to you. I mean, I definitely believe in coaches and seminars, but they can come to you in guidance from your life. And I'm someone who I think gives out a lot of guidance, maybe unsolicited, but I think sometimes people don't want to hear
you need to take action. No,
not even action, just relating to your life in a different way or seeing it a different way. And
I think a lot of people
need to be more open to receiving that and changing their belief because it can change their life.
Getting out of your own way, basically.
Yeah
And so, having a willingness to grow, too.
Right.
Because you have to want it as well.
And growth is not easy.
Yeah.
You cry.
But it's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's those tears I always say the time. It's there's a reason why human beings cry for every emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Every emotion we shed tears for. So what is that really? And we look at nature and how nature works is that, there's the crap in life. That's the fertilizer. There's the seeds of knowledge that we get. There's the sunlight. There's the air. What's missing? Water. So when people allow themselves to experience that growth where you shed tears and everything, you need that water to grow because if you don't have water, you can't grow anything. Right. So it's a really cool and fascinating thing the journey that you guys have been going through and continuously working on yourself to grow in the business. And so had you guys not focused or invested in yourself for personal development, where do you think your business would be now?
I think it would be so much more behind.
Right.
I think I probably would have eventually gone to where I am, but I think the growth and the self-work helps accelerate it.
It's faster.
Makes
right?
you go a little faster. Yeah. Get to where you want to go faster.
I think I would be hating life. Honestly. I think I would be
miserable.
Working very hard and
no vacation.
No
I had to
vacation.
Push Michelle to go on vacation. I got mad at her. I was like, Michelle,
go
on your vacation.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
Right. Yeah. And maybe make the same amount of income or maybe not. Because you're saying the energy, if you're miserable and stuff like that, why would people want to work with you?
Exactly.
Right? And you guys also
but
do a lot.
You should want to work with
us. I know. There you go. You should.
I know.
YouTube land. Okay, so
YouTuber.
But you guys also do I just want to end with it. You guys do a lot with the community as well.
Yeah,
and
we love
tell us
community.
A little bit about what you guys do to give back, contribute the community, and how that has also impacted your business.
We're such strong believers in creating community and collaborating with our community and being involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has helped fulfill us not only in our hearts and our souls, but it's we have met so many amazing people, including you, who are just up to really amazing and inspiring things. And it's through, you know, creating events that we've done. Mm-hmm. We just had a block party on Michelle's mm-hmm. street.
Oh, I saw the pictures
amazing.
Of that.
That's,
wow.
So, yeah, we have like, neighbors. We've created a women's group, a women's entrepreneurial group. Mm-hmm. And in doing all this, it's not just about referring and getting more business. It's about like coming together and raising together with mm-hmm. one another, like learning support. And growing together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we see that our community events, maybe in the beginning it was like, we're going to get real estate.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I think when we shifted to, no, we really genuinely just want to connect and we genuinely want to give back, is when we've had the most fulfilling experiences. And I think intangible things, right. not monetary.
Right.
And from that, it's like our business has just kind of naturally grown with
right.
it.
Because it's all connected anyway. Yes. It all relates. Yes. And then people have that. I mean, at the end of the day, when it comes, especially in your space, they're going to work with people that they feel good being mm-hmm. around. Because mm-hmm. It's a kind of a long-term engagement, very intimate engagement.
Oh, yeah.
When you're working with someone to mm-hmm. buy their biggest, well, probably one of their biggest investments in their life, mm-hmm. buying or selling or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be, right? So it's so cool. There's so many different layers, and here's what I suspect, because you guys are so fun to have on the show. I might want to have you guys back again.
We didn't even get to talk about everything.
I know, exactly. I mean, there's so much, but there was so. I would love for you guys to make sure that you know everybody in your generation, your space, because you guys are such an inspiration. There's so many cool things that you guys shared that are that Excellent. People I feel really need to pay attention to how you guys made it work. And you guys are living examples of this stuff that people's like, I don't know about that, but it's an example. You have made a correlation how personal development, mentorship, shifting your belief system, getting out of your own way, all these different things absolutely do play a role. Even for those that say, I need to make more money, that will impact your money flow. Mm-hmm. It will impact your life. And more importantly, it'll create more happiness and peace and serenity and just kind of like
that's
stress.
The end.
Yeah, right?
That's the
good
goal.
Energy.
The happiness, the good energy.
Right.
Money is always going to be there.
Right.
Whether you have a bank account full of it or, you know, a little bit less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't feel good, what's the point?
What's the point? Right.
What
exactly.
is the point?
That's what we're trying to handle all the time.
Yes.
Okay. You got to have all the money in the world, but if you hate your life and you're dying with some kind of weird, funky disease, then what's the point?
Yeah. There is right? disease is related to your mental state.
It's all connected. Your emotional state, your mental state, your energy levels, your physical body. It's all related. Yeah. Go to the gym, you know, like what you guys are talking about. So obviously, there are going to be people hearing from you guys on this show, whether it be now or later on Spotify or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say...
it's opposite, okay?
I know. And they're going to say, wow, I really like these ladies and I really want to connect with them, whether or not be in the community or
join
the
women's
groups.
Entrepreneur group.
Yes.
The Visionaries
I
Club.
I want to join.
The
V
Club.
Why
Visionary.
Did I get
you know,
out?
I think we're going to open a men's division. Yes. You can head that.
Yeah.
Have our brother and sister club.
Brother and sister. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Let's
big bro, little bro.
Yeah, we're a visionaire. We're visionistas.
Yes. Yeah. We're talking about mentorship programs.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about that for sure, because I'm a big fan of the community. I work with the chamber a lot.
We do want to do something here in the Riviera.
Yeah, we're
going
to do something really fun. We just met.
I don't want to do anything in Riviera.
San Francisco or something.
I spend too much time here as it is.
We just met with King Harbor Brewing Company, and we're going to bring some fun here.
We need some dancing.
Yeah, we're going to dance.
We need dancing in the Riviera.
Yes.
Dancing in the Riviera.
And some live music.
Okay, they need to make that, spruce that place up a little bit, because it's
a little
bit.
That's what we're doing. They're doing
okay, good. Because you notice it looks a little bit.
They're not open yet.
Oh, they're not open yet. We're talking about King Harbor Brewing Company.
I know.
They're going to open that glass.
Oh,
they have things coming.
So they're just—it's like a super. It's like a super, super soft opening or something like that. Okay, great. So getting
back
to you.
This is a plug for them.
Yeah. Getting back to. I know we'll probably bring them on the show too. So getting back. So maybe what we'll do is do a local spotlight on the show.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that. Anyway, lots of things to talk about.
Yes.
What I'd like to do is make sure people who want to connect with you, and they say, "Oh, I would love these. I want to connect with them on any level I can." How do they reach out to you? How do they connect with you? And I'll type this into the comments here in the speaker.
We're really easy to find.
Okay.
Google us. You can go to our website, weberaceta.com.
Okay.
And if you go to the contact
Weber
tab at the top,
uh-huh.
our phone number and email is there. So you can contact us whatever way you prefer. Or also on social media.
On social media, like they're easy to find. Look at Lauren Weber. Look at Michelle Aceta. If you want to look at the
or Weber
Aceta. .com. Okay. Yes. And then you can connect, reach out. They're very responsive. Yes. What I love about what you guys bring the old school back with the handwritten notes and everything like that. I love that. And I was like, oh my gosh, she wrote this by hand.
If you want snail mail from us, we'll happily put you on our newsletter.
They do that too. Yes. So very, very
monthly
cool.
Inspiration in your mailbox.
Wow. Some fun stuff on there. Yes.
So, yeah, if you want to, and for those of you who are in real estate, I don't think they have this competitive nature. You guys can talk, shop, and everything like that because they're obviously doing something right. So for those of you who are in real estate and would like to say, figure out how to kind of like approach this new generation of the real estate market and be successful at it, I encourage you to connect with these two because they're obviously doing something right.
Let's
to create a
coffee.
Life something.
We love coffee talks.
Yeah, they love coffee talks, okay? And there's no limit to how many times they'll do it.
There
is. Right. So that's cool. So very important. So thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
You know,
this is a lot of fun.
And I think we're gonna have you guys back, and we'll probably talk about other things.
Let's talk about dating next time.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about dating, money, dating, and success.
Money, dating,
right?
And success.
I know. Very, very cool. So very awesome. So that's our show for this week, ladies and gentlemen out there. Again, if you found this episode to be valuable, and if you didn't, I don't know what you were watching. Probably not this show. This episode.
You were on the wrong channel.
On the wrong channel. But if you did find it to be valuable and you know someone that could benefit from what we talked about today, share it. That's the best way. Kind of like the community thing that everybody is doing here. Review us on iTunes, Spreaker, or like the episode on YouTube Live. We're on YouTube. Get on a channel. And we're now on Spotify as well. So it's really easy. Cool. Just look for The Money Lab. And if you can't find The Money Lab, and just put my name in there, and there's only one way associated with The Money Lab. And did you know we even actually have a Facebook group called The Money Lab? Join us there to dive even deeper into bad money story elimination strategies. So here we go. That is a wrap. Take this week to apply the knowledge from today. Have an amazing week. And we'll catch you next week on the Money Lab Live Podcast, where we'll have author, mother, expert humorist in ending financial stress, Emily Guy Birkin. This is Wei from the Six Figure Academy and Michelle and Lauren from Weber Aceta Real Estate signing off.
Thanks,
now you can wrap to the rest.
We're here at the Money Lab.
We are not drab.
Are we still going? Check it. Check it.
Check it.
Mic 1, 2.